This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong and I'm here with
Audrey Raj.
And today we are talking about TVET. What is TVET? Well, it is Technical and Vocational Education and Training. And we are going to be talking about how graduates in this field struggle to secure jobs in corporate Malaysia and are forced into the gig economy. So how can Malaysia elevate its TVET pipeline to ensure we don't fall behind? If you would like to get in touch with us about this topic today, we are available on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and on Twitter at BFM Radio.
Yeah, so we're talking about, I think most of us call it TVET, right?
TVET.
And it was recently reported that among the approximately 200,000 technical and vocational education and training, that's what TVET stands for, from these TVET Malaysian graduates that come out every year, 200,000 of them, a number of them actually fail to secure jobs in corporate giants and instead they have no choice but to enter into the gig economy to survive. This is happening when TVET is being viewed as a lifeline for future top technopreneurs with around the world, you know, with big tech companies prioritizing skill sets over qualifications for faster entry into employment and bringing these fresh grads into their companies. So how can Malaysia elevate its TVET pipeline to ensure that we don't fall behind, that we are also keeping up with this practice? And how do we remove this? You know, there's this stereotypical perception that a bachelor's degree is better than TVET. So how do we fix that?
Yeah, absolutely. And TVET is actually crucial in equipping youths with a broad spectrum of real-life professional skill sets while still being flexible enough to adapt to changing needs in the workforce, which, as we all know, is much needed right now. And it enhances and quickens the hiring process as these graduates are already skilled, which immediately translates to productivity. So, in theory, how can an employer resist? It not only reduces skills mismatch, but the tuition fees for TVET courses are lower than university courses as well.
Yes, that's true. Now, the best example of the a successful TVET system is, you know, no surprise, it's Germany. The TVET system there is incredibly important and significant to the nation. More than 60% of German secondary school students enter a vocational training program, and about 51% of Germany's workers are skilled workers trained in TVET. Yeah, and TVET also, you know, if you think about it, has certainly become more prominent, especially in 2020 when Elon Musk did say, and we quote, that college is basically for fun and not learning, and jobs in his company should not require a degree. So then suddenly it became like the thing, you know, is TVET the way to go?
Don't know if I agree with the former statement, but I do agree that jobs shouldn't necessarily require a degree anyways. Now, according to Dr. Ramli Mustafa, professor in TVET in the Faculty of Technical and Vocational Education at University Pendidikan Sultan Idris, Malaysian TVET graduates, ironically, are having a hard time looking for jobs after graduating. In fact, in addition to the severe impact of the pandemic on labour markets, TVET graduates are left with few options but to resort to the gig economy to even survive. And despite the benefits that these courses have, only 8% of our Malaysian secondary students are in TVET, which is much lower than in Germany, for example. But even in Singapore, their TVET courses are made up of 75% of secondary school students, while 25% end up in universities as Singapore is gearing itself up for Industry 4.0.
Where you will need more skill-based workers, right? So what is it that we're missing here? Naguib Muhammad Noor, CEO of Stan Consulting, he says that, you know, he said this in the Malaysian Reserve, that in Malaysia, these sorts of things seem to, quote-unquote, happen to us more often than not. Recently, the Prime Minister was quoted as saying that countries like Korea and Taiwan had surpassed us in their ability to develop technology since where we were at in the 70s. And if you have ever spent time in the industries of these countries, you will find that TVET and higher education have always been closely linked. Also, you know, also in these countries, foreign direct investors do not dominate their industrial landscape. Industrial development in these countries is driven by homegrown giants. So it seems, you know, for these countries, TVET has always been part of the plan. You know, it's accepted. It's just inculcated in part of, like, you know, the way the industry grows.
Right.
And what happened to Malaysia was that we had not planned to develop the industry ourselves from scratch, but instead, you know, opted to cut it short through FDIs.
Yeah. So it feels like the problem is fairly conspicuous. And in line with that, The Sun reported that the Human Resources Ministry will collaborate with technical and vocational education and training regulators abroad to strengthen this industry under the ministry. Its minister, Dato' Sri M. Saravanan, visited London last month, jealous, to attend a meeting with the Office of Qualifications and Examinations Regulation, Ofqual, and UK Skills Partnership for a collaboration. Now, Ofqual is a regulatory body that assesses TVET qualifications in the UK and is fully accountable to its parliament, while the UK Skills Partnership is a group of TVET training providers in the UK as well as overseas.
Right. So the ministry, the Human Resources Ministry, said that collaborations with external parties are important in order to have them as best practice references in order to strengthen our TVET education, also governance and TVET management in Malaysia. The ministry is looking at funding mechanisms to promote TVET education here, and it's also targeting all private and public TAFIS centres or Muslim schools to be equipped with TAFIS TVET to create more career pathways for TAFIS students, right? And, you know, it is necessary to ensure the long-term progress of TVET graduates, their career prospects, and of course, at the end of the day, what they're going to get their income, right? Mm. Or else, you know, Malaysian students will only place TVET as, you know, like the final option, you know, they will always go for higher education first.
Right. Hmm. But, you know, on a positive note, TVET Division Director Azman Adnan said TVET education holds great promise of fulfilling the country's dream to become a high-income nation. They also celebrate the fact that the TVET education sector has been adapting well to, quote-unquote, the new normal. In the sense that the TVET learning modules comprise 30% theoretical knowledge, while 70% is hands-on practical learning. Of course, during the MCO, delivering theory lessons went fairly well. But for students who had to learn on-site with machines and equipment, such as shipping, for example, students just attended classes on a rotational basis.
Yeah, that must be quite challenging, right? Azman also says that vocational colleges have been successful in bridging skills gap. You know, although the skill mismatch is still prevalent here in Malaysia, and he also lauded the government for charting the way forward for TVET education. I think there's a 6 billion ringgit allocation under the budget 2021 last year. So, you know, that's at least promising, because 6 billion is quite a big number there. Now, you know, like we come back to this point about there being a skills mismatch, right? We have all this need for skill-based jobs. Yeah. You know, in corporate Malaysia, also in like small and medium
enterprises
as well, you know, but then we don't have the workers. But then again, there's also this conception that, you know, oh, if you can try and go and get a degree instead of going and picking up these TVET qualifications.
I mean, we have talked about, you know, the TVET industry in general in the past. And one thing that I mentioned, I think, before is that when I was, you know, leaning into higher education, when I was about to go into higher education, TVET was never even an option for me. I didn't know it existed. Like, there was no resource when you're at that age to even be aware that that is a pathway that you could take. And I think part of that, you know, part of perhaps increasing the amount of people who are aware of it and educating people about why it's not necessarily quote unquote worse than a bachelor's degree is really important. I don't think, you know, the incoming generation, I don't think they necessarily know that they have any of these options at all.
Yeah, exactly. Get in touch with us and tell us what you think about this. 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also chime in on Twitter. At BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back, we will speak to Nadia Subramaniam. She is the program manager at the Asia Foundation, who leads the foundation's initiative in supporting the growth of Malaysia's TVET ecosystem. So we'll be speaking to Nadia in just a bit. But taking us out of this talk set, we have some music from Rooney, don't we, Chris?
Yes, we do. We have I'm Shaking by Rooney here on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. I am Christine Wong, and in the studio with me is
Audrey Raj.
And today we are talking about TVET. Now, what is TVET, or TVET? It stands for Technical and Vocational Education and Training. And we're discussing how Malaysian graduates in this ecosystem each year fail to secure jobs in corporate giants and have no choice but to enter the gig economy to survive. So that's what we're talking about today. And of course, if you want to get in touch with us and be part of today's conversation, we are on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and on Twitter at BFM Radio. But of course, we're not going to be the only people discussing this topic today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have on the line with us right now Nadia Subramaniam. She is the program manager at the Asia Foundation, and she leads the foundation's initiative to in supporting the growth of Malaysia's Tibet ecosystem. She's also a member of the National Tibet Council Branding Focus Group, which aims to improve the overall perception of Tibet right here in Malaysia.
Love that. All right. So, Nadia, thank you so much for staying on the line with us. Now, tell us a little bit. What's the stigma, I suppose, about TVET in Malaysia compared to Germany, where their apprentice programs are highly, you know, they're highly considered and well perceived?
The perception that academic education is better than TVET is something that exists all around the world, including countries with a more highly developed TVET ecosystem. Germany has an industry-led apprentice structure, but it's not specifically the type of model which determines success in improving perceptions. For example, Australia has a more government-led TVET structure similar to ours in Malaysia, and they have made significant progress in improving the public perception of TVET in Australia. Ultimately, in order to erase the stigma, we need to focus the branding on what is valued at a local cultural level. In Malaysia, what needs to be brought to the forefront is the fact that TVET pathways provide opportunities for lifelong learning, which enable career progression and mobility. Mm. This will be a step towards improving public perception of TVET.
Mm. Right. Now, Nadia, will we be less dependent on foreign labour if, you know, TVET is developed properly here in Malaysia?
The objective of the TVET system is to ensure that Malaysians are trained to enter the workforce, positioning them to have the first choice of available positions in rapidly growing industries that are driving the economy. The projected growth rates for these industries are high, thus it is likely that we will still require foreign labour. But what we need to remember is that it is vital for the longer-term growth of these industries that we have sufficient Malaysians in the pipeline for future leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And I think one of the problems, right, when it comes to TVET is that there is this perception that this kind of work is, quote unquote, dirty, dangerous and demeaning, right? I mean, what can we do possibly to change that perception as well, Nadia?
This is a very outdated, narrow perception of TVET. And to change it, we need to approach it in two ways. The first step we have to take as a society is recognizing that although there are jobs that might be deemed dirty or dangerous, and not suited to someone's taste or skill set, it is not demeaning for someone to perform them. Often these jobs are vital for the community and economy, and we should respect the people who do them. Safety standards have come a long way too. At this point in time, safety in the workplace is very well regulated in Malaysia. Secondly, we need to recognize that as our economy has matured, a vast amount of TVET jobs are more high-tech, where one is more likely to work with machines or computers than to get one's hands dirty.
Mm. Right. Okay. Speaking of machines and computers, you know, what about tech skills, technological skills? You know, there are people out there who feel like, you know, is TVET relevant, you know, as we move towards digitalization and IR 4.0? What would you say to them?
TVET is crucial in IR 4.0 and beyond. We are already looking at about 60% of all new jobs created in Malaysia requiring TVET qualifications, and that ratio is expected to increase. It's widely recognised by the government, academia and industry that TVET is one of the main building blocks for catalysing Malaysia's sustainable growth in the years to come.
Yeah, you can't argue with stats like that, 60%.
No, absolutely not. Mm. And, you know, we talked earlier in the show about how it seems to spur, you know, technopreneurs and other entrepreneurs as well. So how could we help TVET students when it comes to entrepreneurship?
That's an interesting question. The research that we undertook at the Asia Foundation with University of Malaya's International Institute of Public Policy and Management highlighted the entrepreneurship spirit of TVET students and graduates. In order to cultivate this, institutes can engage with existing entrepreneurs to give guest lectures. They can also design elective modules on entrepreneurship. It will be best if these efforts align to the industry in which the students would graduate. Business incubators would be the next step, but of course that would require significantly more funding.
Right. Okay. Nadia, one last one before we let you off the hook. What else needs to change, you know, to fundamentally encourage TVET here in Malaysia, you know, get students excited, you know, get parents to be more accepting of, you know, allowing their kids or encouraging their kids to take up TVET. You know, what else needs to change?
When we look at TVET, we often focus on the graduates and industries. But one of the most pivotal parts of the system is actually the trainers. Increased support needs to be given to TVET teaching staff for their professional development in three areas. First, pedagogical skills, enabling them to adopt modern teaching practices. Second, industrial attachments, so that they remain relevant with current industry practices and technological growth. Thirdly, leadership, to develop the future leaders who will manage the TVET institutes. Ultimately, the teaching staff have the most interaction with TVET students. Ensuring the teaching staff are well supported in their jobs will ensure we graduate TVET students of a high caliber that are ready to contribute to the national workforce.
Right. Thank you for that, Nadia. You know, that's a different point of view, right? Thinking about, because we always focus on the students.
Yeah, the consumers, essentially,
the consumers,
right?
But then also we need to be able to provide the infrastructure for better TVET training here in Malaysia.
I think that also goes for education in general. You know, I think that what's really important is equipping the staff, the teaching staff, the teaching professionals with these skills in order for them to support the students. And not only the skills, but the resources as well. Like she said, a lot of this requires more funding. And we mentioned that the quota within the budget 2021 earlier, and it still feels like maybe that's not enough, and perhaps we need to take a better look at what parts of our country we want to support more. And I mean, you know, we're far from discussing budget 2022 or what the case, whatever the case may be, but maybe that's something to just take a look at and to be aware of, right? So that's definitely a point to look at. Thank you very much. That was Nadia Subramaniam, Program Manager at the Asia Foundation, and she leads the foundation's initiative in supporting the growth of Malaysia's TVET ecosystem as well. But I believe that's kind of all we have for today's show, really. And hopefully, you know, if anyone else has any thoughts on TVET, you know, feel free to send us a message. And
we'll be continuing to monitor our WhatsApp.
Yes, our WhatsApp.
And Twitter as well. Yeah. So feel free to chime in 018-789-8899. You can also reach us on Twitter at BFM Radio is our handle.
Well, of course, we will be here same time, same place tomorrow at 12 p.m. on Enterprise Biz, but with another topic for you guys that you can chime in on. But coming up shortly after the 1 p.m. news bulletin, when the Holstein Milk Company was set up in 2010 to provide fresh dairy products from grass to glass, it could be seen as fanciful to attempt to sell milk to a population that, at the time, was not accustomed to consuming milk as a diet staple. More than a decade later, they've proven the naysayers wrong, and the Holstein Milk Company has today morphed into Farm Fresh Berhad, fresh off a public listing on Bursa Malaysia last month. So, of course, the Breakfast Grill spoke to its founder, Lloyd Tuan Yee, on his ambitions now that the company is bankrolled to the tune of R1 billion post-IPO. That is all coming up at 1 p.m. after the news bulletin. But for now, we've got some music for you. We've got Cradle of Love by Billy Idol, followed by I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. Or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.